My friends, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, I have to be honest. As pastors, we know that you don't hang on to absolutely every word we say. Sometimes we can drone on and get a little boring, can't we? You could say amen. Sometimes it happens, you know? Sometimes I look out and I can see who's sleeping, okay? There's one woman at my first church when I was a student pastor, and constantly, I mean, that head was totally down. And she would tell me, oh, Pastor, no, I just listen with my eyes closed. That's how I listen best. And I never believed her, but God bless her soul that she was trying to make me feel better. But there could be a danger when you fall asleep in church because you never know what's going to happen or what the pastor's going to say. And sometimes some surprises can come. In the New Testament, there's a story of a young man in Acts 20, and he was at a house where Paul was preaching. And you'd think Paul's a pretty incredible preacher, but it ends up this man, he was sitting comfortably in the second story window, and Paul the Apostle was preaching, and he must have gotten a little boring because this young man fell asleep, and when he fell asleep, fell out of the second story window. So be careful where you're sitting when you fall asleep when I'm preaching, okay? Let's watch out for your safety and not just how the Word of God gets to you. But in our story this morning, we have a young man who falls asleep in church, like I was telling with the kids. Samuel fell asleep in church. Of course, he's supposed to fall asleep in church because that's where he lived. And why did young Samuel live inside of the church? But because of the faith of his mother, Hannah. You see, Hannah, more than anything else in all the world, wanted to have a baby. And she was barren. She couldn't. And so she turned to God. When there was no other place to turn, and she had pretty much given up, she turned to God. And with faith, she told God, God, I will make you a deal. If you give me a son, or if you give me a child, if you bless me with a life that comes from me, then I will give that life back to you. I will give that child to you in service. Well, Hannah got pregnant. And Hannah had Samuel. And as soon as Samuel was old enough, Hannah kept up her end of the promise. And she gave Samuel to God. And Samuel went to the church and began working under the priest Eli. So that's why he was sleeping at church, because that's where he lived as a servant of God, working inside of the temple. Well, here we have this one night, and Samuel's sleeping like he's supposed to be in the church, and he hears his name, Samuel, Samuel. I'm sure that's just how God sounds, right? Samuel, okay? So if you hear that voice, it's God. If it's another voice, I don't know. But he starts calling to Samuel. Well, Eli at this point is getting to be older and his eyesight's going, and so I'm sure Eli was pretty dependent on Samuel. And so for Eli to call out in the middle of the night needing help might not have been an unusual thing. And so Samuel, being the devoted helper, goes running to Eli. Yes, what do you need, Eli? What do you need, sir? What can I help you with? And Eli, getting woken up by Samuel, go back to sleep, right? Go back to sleep. It wasn't me. And this happens three times over where Samuel hears his name being called, Samuel, Samuel. And three times over going to Eli. And three times over Eli saying, it's not me. They're just not getting it. It says that Samuel didn't know the Lord's voice at that point. It was unusual for the Lord to speak directly to people, and so he didn't know what was going on. All he could think was that it was Eli. But at that third time, the light bulb epiphany goes off, and Eli goes, oh my goodness, it's the Lord calling Samuel. He gets it. And he passes the message to Samuel, go back and lie down. It's the Lord that's calling you. And the next time he calls, say, speak, for your servant is listening. What does he tell him? Go back and open your ears, your heart, your eyes, and your mind to the Lord and be ready to hear what he has to say. And so Samuel goes back and he lays down. And again, that voice comes, Samuel, Samuel. And this time, Samuel responds and says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And if you listened when Sue was reading the text, you might have thought Samuel should say when he heard the message, all right, I don't want to listen anymore. Because it wasn't an easy message. The Lord didn't have the warm and fuzzy message for him. He didn't have the easy mission. He said, young Samuel, you get to be the bearer of bad news, that bad things are coming because my people have not been faithful. In particular, Eli, your mentor that you look up to, his sons have been doing wrong in my eyes, and they're going to pay for it. That'd be a hard message for a young man to hear. Even harder to realize that he would have to pass that message to Eli and to the rest of Israel. You know, God speaks, God calls, but that call isn't always an easy one. It's not always the best of news, and sometimes the task feels bigger than we're capable of. And it said Samuel was worried. And so he let the night finish. He let Eli get asleep. And in the morning, he passed the message. And just after that, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, and the ark was captured. And Samuel got to be the one to pass that message. Of course, it's not always tough. Samuel also got to be the one to pass the news to the first king of Israel that he would be king and anoint him. Samuel got to be the one to go find David and tell him that he would be king. There were the good things that came too, but that first job was the tough one. But Samuel was obedient to God, followed his command, did what he asked, and God blessed him through his life. God's call comes in many different forms. I remember when I was called. I remember it so vividly. But one of the things I get reminded of in this text is when God called me, and I was ready to hang up on God and say, no, thank you, that God called me, and it was kind of like I don't know about this. But as I walked out of the doors of the church after God called me, I can't tell you how many members of the church, people who had supported me all my life growing up, people who had been mentors to me and teachers, that as I was heading out the door, greeted me with a handshake and said, you're going into ministry, right? You're going to be a pastor, right? We see what you're supposed to be. And those were my Elis that affirmed what I was supposed to be doing. And I also know that this isn't unique to pastors. We talk about the call of God, and people always automatically assume, it seems too often, that that means called to be a pastor. But God's call comes to all disciples. It comes in all sizes, form, shapes, and ways. Yesterday, we were at a Readiness 360 training, our next training and how it is that we bring new growth and new life into our church. And yesterday, the topic was a really scary word in the church, okay? I think it's probably the word that scares the greatest number of Christians. Are you ready for this word? Have you braced yourself? Are you sitting down? Yesterday, we talked about evangelism. Scary word, isn't it? If I walked up to you right now and said, I need you to do evangelism, how many people would get really excited that I asked you that question? We don't, because it scares us. It scares us to think about sharing the good news and telling people about Jesus and asking them to dedicate their lives to Jesus. But yesterday we talked about how it's not scary and how it's not the ways that we perceive. But as we started to talk about this topic, the pastor that was leading the training had us going around and talking to each other and telling each other about where God's been in our lives and how God's called us and when God has been there for us. And at one point, I met a woman, and she gave me her name, and I gave her my name. And she told me, well, but I hear all these people that talk about being called by God, and I haven't been called by God. I'm not one of those. I said, you're not? She said, I'm not. I said, well, what do you do for a living? And she said, I'm a doctor. Thank you, God, easy one. I said, you're a doctor? She said, yes. I said, so you heal people and treat people and help them? And she said, yes. And I said, and you don't think that's a call from God? And she paused. And I said, that's absolutely a calling. Do you remember when you first thought, I want to be a doctor? And she said, yes. And I said, those thoughts were God calling you to be a doctor. And the medical school that accepted you affirmed that call. And where you've gotten a job as a doctor has affirmed that call. And every person that you have healed and helped has affirmed that call. And God gave you those gifts to be able to do that. And she went, oh, I was called by God. And I said, yes. I tell you, if you are sitting here, you are called by God. God has called your name in some way, shape, or form. That God has planted seeds in you. Gifts and abilities and skills that he knit into your DNA of who you are. And then he called your name. And he said, this is the task that I have for you. And sometimes those tasks have been difficult ones, like Samuel had. Sometimes it's being a bearer of bad news. Sometimes it's letting people hear things they don't want to. The tough love, the tough times, the tough tasks, but they have to be done. And sometimes it's the bearer of good news. Sometimes it's the bearer of blessings in so many different ways. But God calls us. God affirms us through the people around us that thank us, that recognize our gifts, that recognize what we're doing in the Lord's name. And the way we live that call, the way we use the gifts that God gives us, the ways that we take care of the people around us in a professional life, a personal life, in our family, with our friends, in our church, that's ministry. That's evangelism. That's sharing God's love and the good news through our actions, our words, and our life. God has called each and every one of us. The question we have before us is whether we are willing to respond in the same way Samuel did, which is the same way Mary, the mother of Jesus, did, and so many others. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Do we have the courage to open our ears and hear the call of God? Do we have the courage to open our hearts and to allow God to love us and God's love to pour out from us? Do we have the courage to use the gifts and the talents that God has given us for God's work within this world? Do we have the courage to call ourselves evangelists, the bearers of God's good news, that God loves us, God saves us, and God is with us each and every day? I pray that each one of you can answer yes to that call. Yes to the Holy Spirit. Yes to love. Yes to the good news of God through Jesus Christ. Amen.